Well, good morning, my friends. If you've ever tried to return a gift without a receipt, you know the particular art of being told no by someone who is technically and infuriatingly correct. And that's basically what's about to happen to Jesus in today's passage. A woman is going to out-argue the Son of God in public with no notes, and Jesus is going to lose. Graciously, but he's going to lose. Most of us grew up with a fairly tidy Jesus, the one who on the felt board always says the wisest thing, never has an off day, never has to reconsider anything because he already knows how the story ends. It's an image of perfection. It's also a comforting image that we grew up with. It is also, I'd argue, not the Jesus in front of us this morning. Today's Jesus gets cornered, corrected, and, I think this is the good part, changed. This morning's text is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Let's go to the text. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know what the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came back and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Her daughter was healed instantly. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, breathe into us your spirit. We pray that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, just before this story, this pericope takes place, Jesus has an argument with the religious leaders about ritual purity, about washing hands the right way before meals. And Jesus turns the whole conversation inside out, as my friend Duck Padgett mentions in his book, Flipped. He flips this table on the religious leaders. "It isn't what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean," he says. It's what comes out of your heart, the intentions, the words, the assumptions that we carry. Evil doesn't come from outside in. It comes from inside out. That's what defiles. And hold on to that, because a few verses later, Jesus is about to show us exactly what he means in his own life in real time. Jesus travels north into Gentile territory, Tyre and Sidon, geographically speaking, and a Canaanite woman comes to him shouting, her daughter tormented by a demon. She has no standing there. She is a woman in a patriarchal society. She is a Canaanite, an outsider to Jewish tradition. She is alone in public, crying out to a Jewish rabbi. She is, by every category that mattered in that world, an outsider three times over. And Jesus says nothing, not a word. His disciples, in a moment of discomfort, urge him to send her away. Then Jesus explains himself. He was sent, he says, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, only to the Jews who are getting it wrong. She doesn't leave, however. She kneels in front of him and simply asks for help. And then Jesus says the line that should stop us cold. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Dogs. That's what he calls her. In the language of his day, dog was a slur Jews sometimes used for Gentiles. Unclean, outside the family, beneath the table. And I don't think we're supposed to rush past that. A thorough exegetical reading of this text doesn't try to soften it or explain it away. It sits with it, prophetically imagines the scenario, pictures what it is we're reading, because if what defile comes from the heart, then this moment matters. It shows us that even Jesus, in his full humanity, carried the biases of his time and his people. He was raised in a particular place, in a particular tradition, with particular boundaries about who counted and who didn't. And in this moment, those boundaries show up in his own mouth. Here's where the story turns. And notice, she is the one who turns it. She's the one who flips the table, not Jesus. She doesn't argue theology. She doesn't demand an apology. She takes his own insult and turns it into an argument for her daughter's life. Even the dogs, she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. She out-argues Jesus. A Gentile woman with no status, no title, no invitation, wins a debate with the Son of God, and wins it on his own terms, using his own words. And Jesus' response is stunning. He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't double down. He tells her that her faith is great. Her daughter is healed instantly. I believe this story is in our Bible on purpose, and I believe it's good news precisely because it can be uncomfortable for us, because it shows us a Jesus who could be moved, who could listen to a marginalized voice and let it expand his understanding of who belongs to God. His mission up to this point had a boundary around it, Israel first. He mentions this. After this encounter, that boundary starts to give way. Later in the gospel, by the way, Jesus sends his disciples to every nation. Something shifted here at the border in an argument with a mother who refused to be dismissed. If we believe Jesus was fully human, then we have to let him be fully human here, capable of growth, capable of being taught, capable of encountering his own inherited limits and letting them be widened by someone the world had taught him to overlook. So what do we do with this? Three things. First, we stop pretending our own flaws disqualify us from being used by God. Jesus' story didn't end at the insult. Ours doesn't have to end at ours either. Second thing, we pay attention to those who keep showing up at our table asking for crumbs. The people our own traditions have taught us to dismiss, ignore, or explain away. This story asks us to imagine that the outsider knocking might be the one who enlarges our understanding of God, not the one who threatens it. And third, we remember that grace is not the absence of flaws. Grace is what happens when flaws meet honesty. And honesty meets an unexpected voice willing to push back in love. The kingdom of God, this story tells us, is wider than even Jesus first imagined out loud. May we have the humility to be surprised by who teaches us that. May we have the faith of a woman who would not stop asking. And may our hearts, the place Jesus told us defilement really begins, be the place where our healing begins too. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.